Hey, God bless you guys. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord. We're going to get ready to get in the Word. A couple announcements. So last week we were talking about the Salvation Army tickets for the Christmas tree. We've got 10 of them on that tree out there in the lobby area. And on those tickets, there's kids who have given a few items that they want for Christmas. We only got 9 more cards that are left. And if God's laying it on your heart, grab one of those tickets off of that tree, buy those 3 little items. And I'm telling you guys what, it's not expensive. It's a few little small things for like 2-year-olds, 5-year-olds, stuff like that. And so let's get that tree cleared out today. And save that tag, and then you're going to put that tag with your gift, and we're going to turn it into the Salvation Army. So that's important. Let's if God's laying it on your heart, let's do that. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, is it 6 o'clock or 7 for women's?
Six.
It's 6 o'clock Wednesday night. And if you guys are around, come out and get into the Word of God with my wife, Vicky. She's leading the group, and it's been going amazing since they've been getting together and praying. Man, my nasty heart has been changing. I'm more lovable and peaceable, and man, it's just been Vicky's, like, I'm Vicky's best dream. Like, it's, you guys, it's working. The prayer's working. Amen? From my wife, amen. So, but God's been answering prayer. You guys, you know what? So if you're around Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, come out and let's get together and pray for each other. Get into the Word of God. It doesn't last very long. I think it's an hour or so, and you guys are in and out. On Friday at 7:30, NA meets. And that's been going great with Jeremy and Shawnee, that group. So if you're around on Friday nights with NA, come and check us out, 7:30. Okay, let's get into the Word. If you guys got your Bibles, let's head on over to Luke chapter 13 is where we're going to be this morning. And we got it up on the screen. I always like you guys bringing your Bible. I know you got your cell phone machines, but you know what? Something's cool about having a Bible too, right? Because we do everything on our cell phones. Check the bank, check Facebook, check the weather. And I get it. I'm on my phone too with the Word. But it's always nice to have a Bible too. But if you guys don't have a Bible, if you don't have your phone, we got you covered up here. Luke chapter 13 is where we're going to be. So let's open up in prayer and ask the Lord to bless it. Father, we love you. Bless this time in your Word. Open up our eyes, our ears to what you're saying to us. God, we need a word from you today. Lord, we got to be changed more when we leave here than when we came in, and it's only going to come by your hand. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 13. As I was studying for this message, I was thinking about these 3 people that have something in common. And you guys might know what it is when I tell you these 3 people. Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son. The crocodile hunter. What was his name? Irwin. Steve Irwin. And then the last guy, Paul Walker, Fast and the Furious. What do those 3 guys have in common? They died young, and they died in weird circumstances, didn't they? So Bruce Lee's son, Brandon Lee, got shot in the movie he was making on accident. The crocodile hunter got stabbed in the heart by a stingray. And then Paul Walker's Porsche blew up and consumed him. And so these 3 things happened to these guys in just weird ways. Weird situations happened to them. And you're right, they all passed away early. And they were all pretty good people, too. And some of us can get to that place where we're like, why does bad things happen to good people? Have you ever asked God that question? Why, if God's so good, then why do bad things happen to good people? And a couple things we need to realize about that is that God never intended man to die, right? To have fellowship with God, to have peace with God, to have life with God. Now, the devil, on the other hand, we know what the scripture says about that. He didn't come just that we would live on dial-up, right? He came to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus says, I come to give you life. It was never God's intention for sickness, for death, for any of these things to happen that we're experiencing in our world, that those three guys experienced in their life. It's just bad things happen to good people, and good things happen to bad people. That's the way it works in our life. And so a couple things when we're going into chapter 13 that we need to be aware of. And if you're taking notes, just be remindful of this. Number one, first, people don't suffer because of how much they sin. Now, there's consequences, right, for sin. But they don't suffer according to the amount that they sin from God. Number two, tragedy is not a sure sign of God's judgment. Three, bad things just don't happen because somebody is bad. And fourth, we have no place to judge people when bad things happen to them. Right? And so Jesus is going into this section, and he's going to be talking about repentance. Because the question that these guys are going to have about tragedy that's happening in their day, about why these things are happening, Jesus flips the switch and he says, it's not what happened to these people. That's the question. It's where were they in their heart with God when it happened? Where were they at in the relationship with God when tragedy happened? And Jesus is spending his last 6 months, and he's on his way to Jerusalem to the cross. So you guys can imagine this issue of repentance is huge on his heart, because he's going to die for the sins of the world, and in order for the world to be saved by that sacrifice, they're going to have to repent and turn to the Lord, because things happen all the time. Look at the news, COVID. I mean, sometimes, you know, as Christians, we get a little lax and we say, oh, we're going to live by faith. We don't, you know, this COVID's a joke. It's a serious deal. I mean, we want to be wise too, though, right? We don't want to live in unnecessary fear. But we also want to acknowledge the fact that, hey, listen, if you're not being responsible and making sure, you know, you're doing the best that you can, you know, things can happen. There's no guarantees in this life, but the question isn't about if things happen. It's about where we're at with God when they do. Are you guys following with me? So let's check out verse 1 in chapter 13. It says, there was present at this season some who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Or those 18 whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will also likewise perish. And so Jesus talks about this issue that came up in their news feed about Pilate mixing the blood of these Galileans in a sacrifice. Apparently these people were making, they were in church, they were making sacrifice and offerings to God, and Herod had come, or Pilate had sent guys in there undercover, and he had beat them and stabbed them to death to where their blood was mixing in with the sacrifices that they were offering to God. Now, we know the Jews and Pilate, they didn't get along very good, right? And the situation that had happened, just to set the context, is there was probably a situation where Pilate was building an aqueduct to bring water into the city of Jerusalem because they needed clean water. And he thought it would be a kind gesture to them because their sacrifices were filthy. They didn't have no fresh water to wash all the sacrifices, to have things clean. And so they were always in this constant headbutt. And so he's like, I'm going to build this aqueduct. And they're like, yeah, thank you so much for building this aqueduct. And then he builds it and he goes, guess what? I'm ripping off your money to do it. And they were like, what? And so they started rebelling and freaking out because there was an attachment to that. And he rips off all their money and he pays for this aqueduct. And so they get all riley and he's like, fine, when they're in there and they're worshiping God, I'm going to kill them. And their blood was mixing in with their sacrifices. And so this is the question that they bring before Jesus. Why did this happen? And so the Tower of Siloam, I don't know anything about it, neither do you. It could have been a tower that just fell on people and killed them for no reason. It was just kind of like a freak accident, like Bruce Lee's kid and the Crocodile Hunter and Paul Walker. It was just a freak situation that happened to these individuals. And so they're asking Jesus about these issues, about their sin, because they had believed that these people had a greater sin than anybody else, because these things were happening to them out of nowhere, and they got this image in their mind that, man, something must have been wrong with these guys for them to get messed up so bad. Now, here's the thing. There's people that it's so easy to look at other people and judge them with their sin instead of looking at our own, right? And that's what Jesus was talking to him about. He flips a switch. And he's like, listen, it's not necessarily about what happened to them, but what's going to happen to you. Because we all have this tendency, and a lot of people do, where they look at other people and they just assume the worst because the worst has happened to them. You go to Starbucks, you see the guy out there on the corner, and your first thought is, well, if he wasn't screwing up so bad, if he wasn't such a drunk, if he wasn't ripping people off, if he wasn't on dope, he wouldn't be out there begging for money all the time. That's why it's so messed up for him. People look at him, right? And they're like, hey, if it wasn't because of this, it wouldn't be that. Other people look at people in church. They say, oh, we're not going to go to church. Man, there's a bunch of cheats, liars, hypocrites in the church. And so I ain't got no business there. But you know what we say when they always say there's a bunch of hypocrites in the church? We always say we got room for one more. Yeah. Amen. Right? Come on in. You're going to feel right at home. But it's so easy to, like, look at other people and judge them for their sin and be the person that's sniffing out the sin all the time. Or that person who, and you might live with somebody like this, actually, that every time you do something wrong, they're like, that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. You drive 56 miles an hour. You're not being Jesus. You have a bad day at work. You're not acting like, you know, you're not acting like Jesus, right? They don't read their word. They don't go, you know, it's just they nothing. But as soon as you get out of line a little bit, they're like, that's not, you're not acting like Jesus. It's so easy to look at other people's sin instead of looking at what's the matter with us. And so judgment always needs to start with us. And that's why Jesus says, do you suppose that the Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans who this thing just happened to happen to them? They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think sometimes when we hear about situations like this, and we all do, where a freak accident happened, and we can think, man, that's really weird. Like, that never happens, what happened. Something must have been going on with that person. There must have been some kind of secret sin, because, man, they got what was coming to them. That's what these guys are thinking. There must have been something in their life that wasn't adding up, because if there wasn't, they wouldn't have gone through what they were going through. They had suspicions of people, and we all get caught up in suspicion, I think. And so Jesus knew what they were thinking, that these people must have been worse sinners because they think bad things can't happen to good people. And part of that is, too, we got to remember, you know, sometimes people say, well, we're all pretty good people. We're just mixed up. And there's some people that are really bad, way worse than others. No. You know, according to Scripture in Romans 3:23, Paul says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? So we say the ground's level at the cross. It doesn't matter what degree of that we put people in boxes and categories. We're sinner. God doesn't make a distinction. He sees sin. And I know it feels good to look at other people sometimes and say, man, at least I'm not this guy, I'm not that girl. But you know what? God's like, man, sin is sin, because we all fall short of the glory of God. So Jesus tells him, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And so he flips the switch on why does this happen to what's it mean to you. And we got to remember that life brings death. It just does. But only repentance can actually bring life, right? And when we're talking about repentance, it's always good. This is kind of like one of those messages that's just a downer, especially for Christmas. I'll be honest with you, but this is why we go through the Bible. because I wouldn't have been teaching this on Christmas if we weren't going through this. But I'm going to tell you what, if you listen for the next few minutes, God's going to speak something to you. When he said repent, we know what that word means. It means like if I'm facing one way and I go the totally opposite, right? What's going to happen is I'm going to turn from one thing and I'm automatically going to have to go into another. We do it all the time. People are tired of being overwhelmed, so they turn to sex. They turn to dope. They turn to booze. They turn to shopping. They turn to the internet. Everything. Because they're tired of being overwhelmed. They turn from being anxious, right? They're always anxious, anxious. And so they've got to start one project and another. They're turning to something else, a project they never finished. Because they're anxious. They always got to do something. They always got to be somewhere. They always got to have something going on in their life. Repenting is when we're going in one direction and we go into another direction and we go into so many other directions. But what Jesus is saying, this is why it's so important. He's like, listen, if you go into any other direction when you turn from your loneliness to hooking up with whoever will hook up when they'll hook up, and you turn into this direction, that direction's got to be Christ because that's where there's life. Anything else is we're just drinking out of empty wells, and we know it. You guys know it. Every time we turn and go the opposite direction of Christ, does it ever work out? Has it ever worked out? It doesn't ever work out. And so Jesus is saying, listen, if you want it to work out, the first step to getting life back on track out of the mess is to repent, is to turn. And it's kind of interesting that when we're looking at that word repent, that's what it means. Am I thinking? It doesn't mean your actions, because you're not always going to be getting it right away. But at least if you think and you know that some of the things that we think and do are contrary to God, that's the first step. And it's not a really popular word because it means you're wrong. How many people in here are married? Just a show of hands. Okay, cool. So here's the thing. Vicky, sometimes with her, if I get in trouble with Vicky... It's not actually if. When I do get in trouble with Vicky, you know, just things aren't going to be right until she comes out and she'll say this. She'll say you're sorry. Say you're sorry. It's kind of weird because I'm always the one that's got to say I'm sorry. I would like to do just a poll. Maybe it's just me. Maybe there's like, but for me, it's me. Say you're sorry. And I know if I don't right then say I'm sorry, this thing's going to go from like a category 1 hurricane to like some kind of nuclear. It's going to be nuts. So right away, and I've learned this because we've been married like 27 years. So right when she does it, and here's a little helpful hint. She says, say you're sorry. Right away, I'm sorry. And then she goes, for what? Yeah. Right? And I'm like, man, I just got done. I'm trying to go through the hoops, right? And then she steps it up a little bit. For what? And this is what you don't say. I don't know, right? You told me to say I'm sorry. So I thought we'd be good after that, right? We'll go to Starbucks. It's done. I said I was sorry. And then you know, you just start saying whatever. It's like, I'm sorry. I did this. I did that. This. And then it turns out none of those things were the problem. But anyways, you do what you can do. You try to make it right, right? You say you're sorry. And there's a difference between being sorry and repenting. I mean, if you guys got kids, how many of you guys got kids? I know my family's got kids. But you know there's a difference between sorry and repentance. You tell that kid, I told you no more cookies. What are you doing in there with your hands in the jar? And they were like, oh, I'm sorry. And then, you know, 15 minutes, you look in there and they're really quiet. They're not being good. And you're like, what are you doing in the cookies again? You got your hands in the, and they're like, nothing. I'm just counting. I'm making sure, you know, this is a dozen. And it says a dozen. I want to make sure it's 12. And there's a difference because they'll say they're sorry, but in the next minute, they go right back into it. But that's not repentance, right? There's a difference between being sorrowful and repenting. And nothing pictures this better than Judas and Peter. Judas, he was sorry for what he did. He betrayed Christ, the Savior, right? And he was sorry. but he never repented. He never repented that not only was he sorry for what he did, but that he was sorry that he did it to God. Big difference, right? But Peter, what did he do when he dropped the ball? Man, he went out and he wept. And there was a sorrowfulness about Peter's action where Peter was like, man, I'm so sorry. And you know what Jesus did? It was because he knew he sinned against God. And you know what God did? He loved Peter. He encouraged Peter. He developed Peter. And he used Peter. And 2,000 years later, we're still talking about Peter. Because there's a difference. One leads to depression and hopelessness. And the other one leads to holiness and righteousness and life. Life brings death. We know that. But only repentance can bring life. And so Jesus is really pushing this point about them repenting. And so at this point, it would seem odd. There's this transition here where Jesus is going from people getting killed in a church service to a tower falling on them to another group of people and comparing them to a tree that bears fruit, but it's all part of the same train of thinking that Jesus is going through. Check this out in verse 6. Now he goes into the importance of repenting and what it leads to in our life. He says in verse 6, he also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree, planted it in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit from this fig tree, and I've found none. You need to cut this thing down. Why does it use up the ground? But he answered and he said to him, sir, let it alone this year until I dig around it and fertilize it. Or the King James Version says, let me dig around it and dung it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. And so Jesus, it looks like, what he's doing is he's given some kind of gardening hack tip from Martha Stewart, but he's really looking at this issue and illustrating points of judgment when it comes to repentance. And the first is that the owner of the vineyard, he says, is coming and he's looking for fruit. He just got done warning them that if they didn't repent, they would perish, right? And so he comes and it says that he's looking for fruit, because that's the byproduct of somebody that says, listen, I'm tired of going this way that I've been going. I'm changing my mind. I'm going your way. I'm going to do your thing your way. I'm going to set you up in my heart as Lord and Savior. And the consequences of that is going to be fruit. Something that can be tested, something that can be proved, something that, you know, the person you love and who's next to you or around you can say, man, I know for a shadow of doubt my husband has repented. I know for a shadow of a doubt my wife has repented. I know my kids. I know my family. I can see it in their life because there's this thing that's happening where they're bearing fruit in their life. He says, I want to see fruit, not fake fruit. Do you guys remember Grandma? And you go over to Grandma's house, and she'd have that fake fruit on the kitchen table. I remember when I would go over there and spend time with her, and I tried to eat the grapes one time. And she yelled at me because I was picking them off of the plastic. And she said, Jason, what are you doing? I said, I was just going to eat some grapes. They look so real. I was like, I'm just going to eat some grapes. She goes, those ain't for eating. Those are for looking, dummy. Those are fake grapes. And I was like, oh, okay. Because I had never seen it before. And this is a side note. You might be getting older if you got fake fruit at home. Okay. Vicky and I have been having a lot of conversations lately about getting older, and a lot of our conversations during the day are, did I just tell you that? That's what she asked me. Did I just tell you that? Did I tell you about, you know, going to Walmart? And I'm like, no, babe, you didn't just tell me about that. And then she'll go in the kitchen or something and, you know, leave the water faucet on and walk out, right? Or I'll be forgetting stuff. And it's just like, man, and then you can almost get into like panic mode. What's wrong with me? Am I going crazy? No, you're getting old, right? This is just a byproduct of it. And we were talking about how we get up and, man, we're so sore and spraining our ankle out of bed and all this stuff. And you know, I said to her the other day, I said, but at least we don't got fake fruit on the table. We still don't have no fake fruit, babe. We're good. As long as we don't get no fake fruit, we're going to be all right. We're going to live forever. Just don't get the fake fruit. But the Lord's like looking at these guys. And he's like, I don't want fake fruit. I don't want fruit where You guys are given because someone sees you give. I don't want fake fruit when you've got patience with your wife in church, but you guys are getting crazy outside of church. I don't want patience. I don't want, you looking like you're all gentle playing with kids, but then when you get out of church, you're going around beating people in the head. Gentleness, right? And I've never been actually accused of being a very gentle person, but God's looking for these things in our life. I mean, just the other day when we're talking about gentleness, we posted on our Facebook about our Christmas Eve candlelight service. And man, you would think that by posting something cool, right? We're going to have Christmas Eve candlelight service. It's going to be rad. Come out, get blessed. That nobody would have an issue with that. Man, I'll tell you what, and here's my thing. My kids run our social media, just so you know. And there's a reason for that. But I have administration ability to go in there and look at stuff, right? And post under Ark Bible Church, okay? Because I know the passwords. And I saw, man, I saw this one person. She said, "How are you going to have a service in the middle of COVID?" And I was like, oh God. And I was like doing finger exercises because I was getting ready to like do, I'm like, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, right? And I'm like, okay, let's do this. And man, I just went, and I sent it. I sent it. I just said, because you know, sometimes when you're sending a text and the Holy Spirit's like, don't do that. And you're like, yeah, send, right? That was that situation. I was just like, I'm sending this. Next thing I get a text from my kid who runs the, she said, Dad, what are you doing? I said, man, these people are crazy. I want to fight. And she says, you know what? I think the best thing is that you go and delete all that and let me handle this. And I'm like, I said, you know what? Just do whatever you think is best. And so I went and I deleted it and I got off of there and I was mad about it. But when we're talking about fruit, we're talking about gentleness, patience, long-suffering. By the way, some people are just better at some things than other people, right? I mean, there's just some loving people, and then there's some people who you just think hate your guts because they don't know how to express love, right? So we've all got our areas when it comes to fruit, and this is what we're going to close out with. Jesus is going to address this issue with fruit when it comes to, man, how are we doing with it? And the first thing is just this, fruit in our life doesn't save us, right? We're saved by grace through faith. And second, check this out, the owner didn't come looking for fruit when he knew it wasn't mature enough to produce it, okay? He didn't come looking for fruit when it wasn't ready. What happens when you guys, when we go and we get fruit and it's not ready? It's hard and it's what? Bitter, right? It's hard, bitter, and nasty. And I guess what I'm saying is God doesn't expect mature fruit from an immature tree. And he knows where we're all at. And I think sometimes, too, with us is we try to force people to be more mature spiritually than where they're actually at. And we've got to be careful because Jesus doesn't do that to us. You know, sometimes people get saved, and within the first hour, they're like, why aren't they planting a church? But it doesn't work that way. You know, we know people that are not at our level because we're all at different levels spiritually. And it's so easy that when Jesus gives us grace and he's like, hey, listen, he's coming to this tree for 3 years. By the way, how long was Jesus's ministry? 3 years. There's a connection there with him in Israel because he was like looking for fruit and they didn't have any. But the way that translates to us is that there is a patience period with God. And we got to remember that, listen, sometimes people aren't at a certain level because we can tell them, hey, why aren't, you know, you're always freaking out. Why don't you just pray more? Because they're not there yet. Why don't you give more? Why aren't you in church more? Because they're not there yet. You know, why aren't you being reading that Bible a little bit more? That's where I told you where the answer, because they're not there yet. And Jesus, he's not coming to a tree that's immature looking for maturity, I guess is what I'm saying. And so what I want to encourage you to do is like, listen, let's give people some space. This is what he says in verse 8, and we're going to close with this. But he answered and he said to him, "Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well. But if not, after that, you can cut it down." Jesus is telling them that God didn't leave the tree alone. Instead, he cared for it. And the first way he did it, it says he dug around it, right? He dug around the tree. And what's true, check this out, a little Bible hack. When you're reading these things in Scripture, whatever is true in the physical is going to be true in the spiritual. So when Jesus is talking to him and he's saying, hey, listen, the guy comes and he starts digging around the tree that's not producing fruit. He's not there yet. She's not there yet. And that's what God does. He digs down into the root of our lives and the root and the issues that we have down deep. And sometimes he'll use a shovel and sometimes he'll have to get one of those forks because you got so many dirt clogs in there, right? And if it's not one of those forks, he'll use a backhoe. But whatever it is, when God's doing it, he's digging it down to the root. And the last thing, it says he dung it. He dug it and he dung it. Put some fertilizer around it. Worship team, come on up. He just didn't dig around it. He dunged it. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something about this one. God will take certain things around us and he'll shovel it out from us. And he'll remove it, and he'll get rid of it. And then when he takes those things away from us, he puts something else in its place. Did you see it? He dug it, and then he dung it. And he threw fertilizer all over it. Because he knew that this tree had to have some nutrients that was going to help it grow and prosper and mature into the life and the person, into the fruit that God wanted to see him be. But when I was looking at that, I started talking to the Lord about this because I started saying, you know what, Lord? Sometimes I feel like you're removing things from my life and then you're putting stuff in it that stinks. I told him that. I was a little worried about it, but I told him. I said, Lord, it just seems like sometimes I'm in a place and it just stinks. And I don't want to be there all the time. We don't want the stink. We don't want the dung. We look at another time when it wasn't there and we say, man, 2019 was such a better year, but this year stinks. Man, I wish I was in my old home and in my own town, right? With my own friends. This place, right? Stinks. I wish I didn't have a job with so much responsibility and stress because this one stinks. I don't want to live where I live. I don't want to be where I'm at. I don't want to be in this. This stinks. And what God says is that he's more concerned about your growth than your comfort. And that he's going to use everything that's going around in your life right now. And you're just like, I want this away. This is bad. And he's like, no, it's actually good. And you're going to grow and it's going to cause some fruit in your life. Would you guys stand with me? God's more concerned about our growth and our comfort. And he's going to use those things that we wish weren't around to make us strong and fruitful. Are you in a place today where you're like, this stinks? God's going to use it to produce fruit in your life. He's going to use it. You know, and there's some people in here or maybe listening online that are like, you know what? I'm tired of it being bad. I'm tired of it stinking. I'm out of here. And you know what? You can have that attitude every time something bad comes in your way that you say, this stinks, I don't like, I don't want, I wish it was different. And you can run to the next spot, the next person, the next thing, but you're never going to grow. And that's a word for somebody in here who's just been running but not growing. God's talking to you this morning saying you need to settle down under the stuff. Because he's going to use it in your life. And for others of us, and we're there, and we're just like, man, it's been bad. It is smelling bad. It stinks. I hate this. I don't know how to stay under it anymore. I know it's good, but I don't know how anymore. Instead of asking how or what, maybe start asking why. Why is this happening again? Why am I in this place again? What is it you want me to get out of it this time? And you know what? The Bible tells us that his grace is sufficient for us. You know, and then there's other of you guys. You know, I'm so proud of you. You're not giving up when it's messy. You're not giving up when it stinks. You're not giving up when it's hard. You're not giving up when you want to give up. And you've been in that position and you've been faithful. Man, God's going to grow some fruit in you guys like you never believed. And I'm excited to see it in you. Let's pray. Lord, I love you so much. And I pray that we remember this message about you're more concerned about fruit in our life, growth in our life, power in our life than you are our comfort. Lord, we want to be comfortable. We don't want problems. We want 2021 to be better than 2020. We just want to go from better to best to greatest. And it just, you know, Lord, it doesn't work that way. Father, do your work in us. For everybody struggling, for everybody who's feeling like an outcast and tired, Lord, and spent. Lord, they came in here with weak knees. God, strengthen those knees up. Strengthen those arms up. Blow a breath of your spirit afresh in this place today, God, that we go out and we can stand on your word that says, Lord, that you're going to take care of us, you're going to provide for us, you're going to nurture us, you're going to do whatever it takes, God, that there'd be fruit in us. For the glory goes all to you, Lord. We thank you for how far you've already brought in us, Lord. Lord, and I just pray that we also remember you're not looking for mature fruit on an immature tree. You know where we're at. You know where we need to be. And we can trust that you're going to get us there. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen.